Let us pray. Holy and eternal Father, we give thanks for this day, for this morning. Father, may thou not take glory as thy holy word is declared. Bless the declaration as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. By now, the composition of the junk mails arriving in your mailboxes shall have changed. Instead of flyers about unbeatable Christmas deals or some catalogs, you should now be receiving postcards inviting you to join a gym, about healthy living, or even about an invitation to come to church. The reason for this advertising shift is really not difficult to discern. You know, there is always a feeling of euphoria at the start of every new year, as many people view it as an opportunity to reflect over their lives and make specific lifestyle changes. This usually takes the form of resolutions. And since the kind of resolutions people tend to gravitate towards is well documented through research, businesses, they just offer what you desire and they seize the opportunity to present you what you want. And I must admit that the drive that often overwhelms many people at the onset of every year, prompting them to desire some form of lifestyle change, is quite commendable. You know, it is always good when a person takes an introspective look at his or her own life and see the need for change. But, you know, according to research, the life expectancy of those resolutions we make at the start of every year is about 14 days. That means in 2 weeks, you will have changed your mind or your desire to change will have worn out, and you will return to the same old you. Now, some will have, you know, resolved this year to quit smoking. They will do it for a couple of weeks, and before you know it, they are back to the same old smoking. Others might say, listen, I'm going to stop eating junk food. They probably started well. A couple of weeks, they're back to doing what they do. The same goes for those who have said, listen, I'm going to start working out in the gym. They will start, and within the next couple of weeks, they kind of fall down the road. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised, looking down at you all this morning, some of you that have made the commitment at the beginning of this year to come to church and to participate in the work of kingdom building, I wouldn't be surprised if you go AWOL in the next couple of weeks. You know, the failure to actually actualize these resolutions are always indicative of the one underlying problem. And what is that underlying problem? It's always our struggle with change. Again, let me repeat this. You know, the failure to actualize this resolution is always indicative of one underlying problem, our struggle with change. You know, change, as beneficial and as promising as it might be, is never easy to actualize. Even in dire situation, when people's lives are threatened, some people will rather stay where they are than to risk change. And you know what? The evidence is all around us. Today, many people are caught in the cycle of destructive behaviors and choices because of their unwillingness to embrace change. Though they know those choices are destructive, they see the impact of their choice in the life of so many people around them, or even in their own lives, but yet they have this unwillingness to change. But this morning, for you to embrace the new you in this new year, you must have to understand not only the importance of embracing change, but also how do I be a person of true change in such a world like this? How do I actualize this change? And to aid us in understanding change and how to actualize it, I want to really turn your attention to the scriptures, and especially to the story nestled in the Old Testament of Nehemiah. You see, in the book of Nehemiah and the actions of Nehemiah, you will be able to glean principles on how to change and how to actualize that change. And this is what I intend to go this morning. So if this new year, your desire is to be a new man, a new woman, you need to pay very close attention to this principle. Yes, it will help you not only to change, but to stay changed. Now, let me do this as a preamble. I want to first take a step back and answer this very obviously easy question for me, but question that often is always connected with change. You know, why do people struggle with change? Why is change so much of a struggle? Well, I believe when you look closely at this question, three answers should pop up, at least for me, it did. You know, the first reason I believe most people struggle with change is because of the old habits that are tough to break. You know, in case you don't realize this, most of the patterns of behavior that you are presently displaying and visible in your life did not happen overnight. They are not accidental patterns. Rather, they stem from repeated actions, what we call habits. And as someone has rightly put it, he said, we become what we repeatedly do. And this is the truth. It is next to impossible for you to undo all those patterns because of a flip of a new year. Let's take, for instance, a person who has been smoking for 10 years, and now he or she has developed this nicotine addiction. And abruptly, the year comes and you want to change. And that is a good thing to decide to change. But the truth remains that for majority of people who smoke, their willpower is not enough to take them through that change. Because sooner or later, the craving that's already developed in their body, the patterns that have developed in their body, will crave this desire. And it's that craving that draws them back to the same old thing that they said they're going to give up. Take also example of someone who wants to give up drinking. You might say, well, it's a good thing to want to give up drinking. But here you are, you've got an history of drinking for the past 20 years. Your body have developed a tolerance for such behavior. As such, you now decide that I'm just simply going to give it up. You know, your body will begin to crave because those things are stimuli that are already in your body. You'll begin to crave that desire. And before you know it, your willpower is bound to fail. And I believe this is the reason for so many people that they fail to change because they don't understand the dynamics neurologically of their bodies, but also the patterns that is developed throughout their lives. As such, for change to take place, there must be an aggressive, and I'm still going to talk about this, an aggressive way for you to be able to deal with that change so that it can begin to go against those patterns that you've developed over the years. You know, the second reason I believe people struggle with change is because of laziness. Yes, you heard me right. Laziness. You know, to be lazy is to lack effort to continue a pattern that you've decided to take, or a pattern, or a path rather that you've decided to take. And you know, this describes so many of us. Listen, you might decide this year that, listen, I'm going to spend more time in prayer. Good resolution, right? Yes, you want to spend more time with the Lord in prayer. That's great. But watch this. When you are lazy, when though you begin the first week devoting time to prayer or devoting time to study of the word, the next week when you turn your Bibles and you feel a little dizzy and tired, say, oh no, tonight I'm going to read up tomorrow what I missed tonight. Then tomorrow comes, oh, I'm just too tired to even turn the Bible. Then the next day comes, you don't even want to see the Bible. And before you know it, 6-7 months, you just, listen, I'm going to come to church on Sunday. I'm going to kind of go to Bible study. I hear what I got to hear. I'm good to go. But that pattern is symptomatic of laziness. And there's a lot of people in our churches, really, that are that lazy. And you got to be real. Because when you are not putting effort into anything that you want to do, and you say, you know what, I'm just going to let it slide. I'm going to get to it tomorrow. That is indicative of you being lazy and being complacent. And really, you can't exercise and execute change if there is a lack of effort. Because change requires that you put in effort. And if you can put in effort, if you can deny yourself, you can actualize change. And for so many people, they just believe that change will just come innately to them. It's possible. You have to put in effort and put in the energy to see and bring to fruition the change that you desire. Now, the third is this, and I believe people struggle with change because of what we call in the Greek phobia, fear. You know, fear oftentimes is paralyzing. The fear of the unknown. What if I make this change in my life? What lies on the other side? What am I going to face? What am I going to encounter? Is this change going to take me out of my comfort zone? If it takes me out of my comfort zone, am I going to be well? Am I going to do right? Is something going to happen here that's going to work in my favor? And you see, all those notion of fear that comes into the mind of so many people when it comes to change tend to stop them, tend to put this little stoppage towards their desire to change because they're afraid of leaving that comfort zone. They're afraid of stepping out of the boat and walking on water. They're afraid. And may I remind you, if you're fearful, you won't take any step of change that is meaningful because fear always negates faith. And at times for change to take place, you must have this faith that you believe that, listen, if God be for me, who can be against me? And I truly believe for many of us that don't step out by faith is because we are paralyzed by fear. And loved ones, this morning, I tender to you that you cannot actualize change if you constantly acquiesce to fear. But you must have to get rid of your fear. You must have to trust in the God who you believe is able to do abundantly beyond what you can imagine or even think according to the power that worketh within you. You have to believe that as a believer in Jesus Christ. And when you do, and you step into the unknown, the God who goes before you will give you victory. And I truly believe, loved ones, this morning, those three things we usually struggle with when it comes to change. This now brings me back to the book of Nehemiah. So now, this morning, that's what I want to get to. I want to really concentrate on this notion of Nehemiah. I want to really look deep into this notion of how Nehemiah was able to execute change in Jerusalem. Now, let me give you an historical backdrop to this book of Nehemiah. You know, by this time, the Jews were under captivity, had been under captivity for many years. First, they were under captivity by the Babylonians. Then they came under the Persians. And now Nehemiah, Jew, was a cupbearer of the king of Persia, Artaxerxes. And while he was serving in the king's palace, some men from Judah came and he asked them about the state of the Jews who served in captivity. And they told him that they were in great distress and the reproach was heavy. And apart from that, the walls of Jerusalem was broken down and its gates were burnt with fire. On hearing this, Nehemiah was so grieved that he sat down and wept and mourned for days. Then he began to pray about a plan of action. Now, it is obvious when we begin to look at this chapter that Nehemiah's response did not only reveal that he cared for his homeland, but also he valued the well-being of his fellow Jews, his people. And this is what I want you to pay attention to, loved ones. He valued it. Here is the first principle when it comes to change. The value you attach to your change will make you always, or will determine the effort that you put into it. Let me repeat that. The value you attach to any change will always determine the effort you put to it. You know, this is where so many people miss the mark, loved ones, because we don't really do what we believe. We do what we value. Again, pay attention to what I just said. We don't really do what we believe. We do what we value. And let me give you a good example of this. I believe it is good to exercise. I believe it is good for you to go to the gym at least once a week and, you know, burn some calories and, you know, be in good shape. I believe that is great. But the question is that, do I do it? No, I don't always do it. And I truly believe this is true for so many of us. You know, what we believe is always there in our mind, but what we actually do is a different thing. You know, the difference between your belief and your action is your value. Because if you value something enough, if you really value something, if your heart is in something, you will always go the extra mile to bring to fruition whatever you value. That is what I mean by we don't do what we believe, we do what we value. And that is why for you to embark on any form of change, you have to do what I call a value evaluation. A value evaluation is to ask yourself, you know, how important, how valuable is what I'm trying to do to me? Listen, if you don't put value to what you're trying to do, if it doesn't ring a bell in your head, if it doesn't really, really determine great power or great need in your life, there is always that tendency for you to begin it and say, you know what? I really don't need this. I can do without it. As such, you must have to value. You must have to value prayer enough for you to say, listen, I'm going to spend more time in prayer. You have to value the study of the word enough for you to say, I'm going to spend more time in the study of God's word. You have to value the time with your wife, time with your husband, for you to say, listen, I'm not going to be so caught up in the job. I'm going to leave home early. I'm going to spend time because I value. And loved ones, listen, that is what is called value evaluation. If you want to make a new you this year, you must have a value structure in place, knowing that whatever I'm embarking on at this moment, I value it enough to sacrifice all other things in order to achieve this. And look at the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah's heart was so grieved. He wept. He valued not only his nation, but he valued the welfare of his people. And that value caused him to ask God for grace, for wisdom on how to execute change. The first principle for you to truly change and stick with it, you have to value your change. Let's go back to the book of Nehemiah. So after discussing with the king, God showed him favor. The king granted Nehemiah permission to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall and the gates, which were destroyed. So now let's fast forward. So Nehemiah travels and arrives in Jerusalem. And after he'd been there 3 days, we're told, he rose at night, took a few men with him, and went to inspect the work that needed to be done. Pause for a minute right there. When he got there after 3 days, he didn't call for the other Jews. He just went by himself to do what I call a cost evaluation. Here's the second principle, loved ones, when it comes to actualizing change. Always count the cost of the change you want to achieve before embarking on it. Again, watch what I just said. Always count the cost of the change you want to achieve before embarking on it. In case you don't realize this, there is always a cost attached to any kind of change or commitment we want to embark on. Some of it might be financial cost. Some of it might be emotional cost. Some of it might be time-related cost. And when you look at the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 14, even as it comes to discipleship, the Lord Jesus reminds us that there is a cost to discipleship. You got to really ask yourself, is this what I want to do? There is a cost attached. Yes, salvation is free, but there's a cost to discipleship. And the same thing, there's a cost to change. That is why I tell people, listen to this. Don't set lofty and unrealistic resolutions which are too costly or too high for you to achieve. You will fail. And let me give you a very, very, very practical example. And this is quite simple. You know, you were saying to yourself, listen, Pastor Wally, I'm going to start coming to Sunday school every Sunday morning. Now, you know, and I know, not that I know, I don't know, but you know that you're not a morning person. When it comes to service, you barely make it in at 10:30, right? You struggle to make it in at 10:45. At times, you make it at 11 o'clock. Now you say, listen, I'm going to start making Sunday school at 9:30. I'm going to come in and study my word. Well, that is good to have that plan. But you got to count the cost here. Because for you to do that, that means you got to get up pretty early. You got to get the kids ready. You got to be ready. You got to come in. You got to be prepared to do what you got to do. Then you got to be prepared to come to service. But if you're not willing to put in the cost, if you're not willing to carve out time in that period of a morning to say, listen, I'm gonna carve out time here and I'm gonna put in the effort to make it to Sunday school, then to come into regular service, and I'm just gonna give the Lord this special day. If you're not willing to count that cost to see whether you can do it, you can start 1 week and the next week you won't meet it up because you're not a morning person. Because all the patterns you've been showing for the past years is that you barely make it in on time for worship. So you got to understand this, loved ones, that, you know, every time you need to embark on change, you also have to do a cost evaluation. And the cost evaluation is simple. Am I ready? Am I willing? Can I truly get this to the finish line? You don't want to start something and finish. And don't finish, rather. You know, and I always tell people, it's not how you start, it's where, you know, do you finish strong? And you don't want to really start nothing and just halfway and just give in, because that is not true change. True change means that you start something, you persist, and you take it through. And loved ones, this is why it's important to do a cost evaluation. Watch Nehemiah. Nehemiah went in, evaluated the cost. He looked at the wall. He looked at the gate. Can I get this done? Is it possible for me to put things together? He did what I call a cost evaluation. And for you and I to achieve change, we must have to do a cost evaluation. And that cost evaluation means that we know there's a cost attached to it. There's a financial commitment here. There's an emotional commitment here. There's a time-related commitment. Am I willing to put this into it? If I'm not willing to put all this, then listen, it's better for me just not to do it than for me to go ahead and do this and don't achieve it. And by the way, when it comes to cost evaluation, you measure success by inches, not yards. Again, I want you to watch what I'm saying. When you want to set goals as it relates to cost evaluation, always ensure that you set goals that you can achieve. And they could be inches. And if they're inches, that's all right. Because every inch adds up till it becomes a yard. But you don't set up a yard as your first goal because it might be unrealistic. You might not be able to achieve it. So, loved ones, this morning, the second principle is this. Always count the cost of your change before you embark on such a change. Let's go back to Nehemiah here. So after Nehemiah had done this cost evaluation, he then assembled and gathered to him all the other Jews, and he laid to them the vision. Again, I want you to watch what's going on here. He called the other Jews together and told them, you know, this is the vision. My vision is to rebuild the wall. My vision is to repair the gates. Here is this third principle of change, loved ones. You know, those you surround yourself with can propel or repel your change. Watch what Nehemiah does here very cleverly. He assembled like-minded people. He assembled people that have the same passion for the vision. He assembled people that have that passion to see and to bring to fruition the vision that he believed the Lord has given him. And because of that, they began the work. And the same is true about change, loved ones. You know, when you have a vision to change, when you say to yourself, listen, I want to change this aspect of my life. It's a vision to change. That's great. But you got to surround yourself with like-minded people. You have to surround yourself with people that can help you to grow and to achieve that vision and to support you in that area so that the change can be actualized. But if you want to change and you still surround yourself with negative people, those that will pull you down, you won't achieve your change because every time you want to propel forward, they pull you down. You can say to Master Jimmy, listen, I want to kick the habit of smoking this year, right? Great. That's your health. Great. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Great. But then your bodies are those who still do the same thing that you're doing. Your roommate is the person who still do the same thing you're doing. Your colleagues at the job are still doing the same thing you're doing. And those are your circle of friends. Before you know it, you might have the willpower to say no for the first day, second day no, but the third day you just said, I don't care. Because you are going to regress because of who you surround yourself with. That is why it is important to understand the need to surround yourself with those that will encourage and build up your change, not those that will bring you back and bring you down. For many who fail in their change, they fail oftentimes because of who they surround themselves with. And loved ones, this morning, if you surround yourself with those that will bring you down in times of your change, you will definitely come down. But you must, like Nehemiah, surround yourself with like-minded people so that they can help you in your own desire to actualize change. Now, let's go forward here. So after Nehemiah assembled these people together, we see that while they were rebuilding the wall, the Tobias, the Sanballat, the opposition came. And the opposition came to discourage Nehemiah and the folks, to tell them, listen, this cannot be done. that even if the foxes will come against this wall, it will collapse. And Nehemiah to say, listen, I'm too busy. I'm walking this walk. I can't come down for. They try to set him up, but Nehemiah refused. Nehemiah was steadfast. Nehemiah stayed. Nehemiah stayed the course. He knew the vision. He stood his ground. He didn't let them discourage him. He knew the God who called him is more powerful than any opposition of men. He stood his ground. Here is the fourth principle of change, loved ones. Expect resistance, but remain committed to the goal, to the vision of your change, and you will prevail. Watch what I just said, loved ones. Expect resistance. Now, any form of change will always come with resistance. First of all, there will be resistance within and resistance without. Let me begin with resistance within. You know, every time you want to change, whatever pattern you already develop, your body is already acclimated to that pattern. Your flesh is acclimated to that pattern. And every time you decide that you want to change, the rebellion comes in from the inside, first of all. You will begin to find this resistance in your system because your system is not accustomed to the newness that you're bringing into it. Your mindset has to change, and there must be a desire within you to want to persevere in this change because there will be internal resistance against your change. Whatever form of change you want to embark on, there's going to be an internal resistance. There's going to be a pull to return back to the old you, a pull to return back to the old thing you want to, a pull to return back to the habits that you used to do. Those are the internal changes, internal opposition you're going to face. Then you got the external opposition. The external opposition has to do with what the enemy wants to bring about in your life. The enemy don't really want you to embark on any form of change because whatever you might be doing might be keeping you minimally a believer. It might just be putting you on this level of mediocrity as a believer, and the devil don't want you to go higher in your faith. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to come. He's going to bring all kinds of attack against you. He's going to bring all kinds of opposition against you. But you must be steadfast. Listen to me. You must be like Nehemiah. You must stay on the wall till the work is done. You must reject all the desires and all the longings of the enemy. You must have to reject it. You must have to stay faithful. You must have to stay on that wall till the work is done. Stay on the wall. You have to stick with your change. When you stick with your change and you're faithful about it, watch God do the impossible. Watch God begin to give you victory. And what am I going to tell you? You know, every time you stick it out, every time you remain faithful to what you want to do in terms of change, every time you resist the temptation of returning back to your Egypt and you are steadfast, every step of victory is always a greater strength for you to persevere. This year, loved ones, to be a man or woman who truly will change for the glory of God, you have to be like Nehemiah. You have to evaluate the value, evaluate the cost, surround yourself with positive people, but be willing to stick in there and resist the temptation and the opposition. And I can tell you, God is more than able to give you the grace to truly change. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning, O Lord, we do thank thee for the opportunity we have to gather in this place and look into your word. Father, may thou now bless, I pray, the declaration of thy word. In Jesus' holy name, I pray, and I give thanks. Amen.